Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you. PA here, Pastor Adam Burt, and I'm so excited that you would choose to spend your Sunday morning here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, we are closing in on the end of our series we've just called The Beautiful Mess. It's a study and a walk through the book of 1 Corinthians. And today you're in for a special treat, all right, because 1 Corinthians 16, we're gonna call it the M&M sermon, all right? The M&M sermon today. Have you ever had any of these? These are fantastic, all right? The M&M sermon, and here's the reason why, is because Paul, in 1 Corinthians 16, he's going to talk about men and money. Men and money. And so this is our M&M sermon today. And so before we kick it off, I want to start with just a little bit of history for you. And so back in the first century, there was an early church father. His name was Polycarp. I know that sounds like a weird name, but the name Polycarp, it actually means much fruit. And so this was a man who bore much fruit. Fascinating. He was actually discipled by John the disciple, John the beloved, right? And so he was an early church father. And get this, now Rome was now cracking down on Christianity and Christians. And Rome, they sent a delegation to arrest this Polycarp, who was upsetting the world with this Christianity. And can you imagine the squadron when they arrive at Polycarp's house, that they find this elderly man, roughly around 86 years old. And what does Polycarp do? He actually invites the soldiers in, and he says, "Hey, before you arrest me and take me away, let me feed you, give you some tea, and I want to pray for you." Right? But they were blessed by Polycarp, but it didn't stop the arrest, and they took him back to Rome, and they threw him in the Roman Colosseum. And as the bloodthirsty crowd began to scream as they were going to burn Polycarp at the stake, over all the noise and the commotion of the crowd, Polycarp heard these words: "Be strong, Polycarp, and play the man." Right, the audible voice of God: "Be strong and play the man." It was what strengthened him to go to be burnt at the stake. In fact, they went to tie him to the stake, and he says, "You won't need to tie me. I will not move." And as they lit the flames engulfed Polycarp, but get this, while he was surrounded by the flames weren't permitted to touch him. And so rather than the stench of burning flesh that would fill the Colosseum, instead this day, the Colosseum was filled with the fragrance of frankincense. That's the fragrance of the temple. And so like the Romans, they didn't know what to do because Polycarp wasn't dying in the flames. And so they had a soldier come and take a spear and spear Polycarp, spilling his blood, extinguishing the flames. And he would die. And he would die for the glory of God and for the sake of the gospel. And those words, they resonated with me. Be strong and play the man. And that's what I want to speak to men this morning, right? And listen, what's so ironic is this is National Women's Month, and so naturally I'm going to do a sermon addressing men. But ladies, bear with me, because I think you'll agree with me on this. Do you know, like one of the greatest gifts that I could give women is to challenge men to live like men. Because get this, when men live like boys, women and children suffer. When men act like boys, the world burns all around us. But when men are strong and play the men, man, humanity flourishes. And so I want to speak to men this morning. When men act like boys, here's what happens. The world burns. You know that 71% of everyone that's incarcerated comes from fatherless homes. That 90% of runaways and homeless come from fatherless homes. That 60% of youth suicides come from fatherless homes. And then I've shared this one often, that John Hopkins University did a 30-year study, and they were trying to boil down what's the reason for incarceration, mental illness, depression, illiteracy, so on and so forth. And after 30 years, they narrowed it down to one thing: fatherlessness. And so I want to echo the words of Pastor Tony Evans. He challenged a group of men, and he says, if you want to change the world, then you need to change a continent. And if you want to change a continent, you need to change a country. If you want to change a country, you need to change a state. And if you want to change a state, then you're going to have to change a city. And if you want to change a city, you change a neighborhood. And if you want to change a neighborhood, change a family. And if you want to change a family, you change a father. See, I want to challenge men, and fathers in particular. You have the power to absolutely change the world. And so, ladies, I think the greatest gift that I can give you this Sunday is to challenge men to not live like boys, but act like men. And so, men, I want to speak to you, and I don't know if you've ever been provoked by the Lord. I remember my wife and I went to Broadway to we saw The Lion King, and I can remember this scene where I didn't expect this, but the Holy Spirit blindsided me. And there's this scene where Mufasa, he was called to be a king, and he was actually, or excuse me, Simba, he was called to be a king, but he was living like a pig. And so he went to a nearby river. And as he peered in, he saw the reflection and he heard the words of his father. And his father said this: "Simba, you've forgotten me." And he says, "I could never forget you." He says, "You've forgotten who you are, and therefore you've forgotten me." And here's the words that gripped me: "You're more than you've become. It's time for you to step up and take your place." And I want to speak that. I pray the Holy Spirit speaks that to men that are in the sound of my voice, that you're more than you've become. Man, you got more that you can give to your family, to the kingdom of God. There's more you can give. And this morning, I pray you're going to step up and play the man. So let's go this. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 through 14. Paul's going to say this, very simple message, but very provoking. He says this: "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love." And so our first point is this, Paul says, act like men. And here's my question for you this morning is this: what's a man? Like, is it the moronic idiots that we see played on TV? Or is it like kind of the irresponsible, you know, 30-year-olds that are playing video games and looking at porn and still living at home with their parents, right? And so we don't have a lot of great role models, but Paul's going to help us this morning. He's going to show us what a man is like. And as we open their scriptures, we read this, that men are strong and loving. Men are strong and loving. And so, ladies, I want to let you in on a little secret. Your man wants you to see him as strong. In fact, I promise you this, if you were to reach over and grab your man, grab his arm, you know what he's going to do? He's going to flex every single time because he wants you to feel like he's strong, right? And men, you'll get me on this. Come on, fellas, you've ever like gone in for the handshake too soon and the guy grabs you and you give him like kind of the limp fish, right? And so you want to, hey, let's do a do-over. Like, I wasn't ready. So you can give him the firm man a handshake, right? And women, don't mishear me, because you too, women, are incredibly loving and strong. But just as men and women are different, we image and display love and strength in different ways, and it's by God's design. Like our society wants us to believe that there's no difference between men and women, and it's absolutely absurd, and the Bible would disagree with you. And so let me read for you 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. And so I'm just reading the Bible, so don't get mad at me, okay? It says this, Peter says, "Likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as, wait for it, the weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered." And so Paul uses this side. He calls the woman the weaker vessel. And so can I, before we all lose our mind, let's just, I want to shed some light on this. Do you know a vessel is simply, it's a cup. It's a container, right? That's what a vessel is. And so I have two vessels here, right? This is my thermal mug that I drink protein shakes, or if I'm outside for a long time and need a big cup of coffee, this is the one that goes. This is a champagne glass. And I was terrified I was going to break it as I was driving over to the church here this morning, because my wife would kill me. Okay? Which one of these is the stronger vessel? Or don't make me do this one, okay? Of course, it's this one. But let me ask this question. Which one is the more important or valuable vessel? Well, that question, it can be answered like this. What's it used for? Right? And so, listen, if you just need a hot cup of Joe that you need it to keep warm, this is what you want. But if you want to go on a date with your girl or your guy, have a little Dom Perignon, this is the better vessel. I promise you that. All right? And so that's what he says, is that men are to be strong, more like the thermal mug here, and that women are more delicate, okay? And so let me illustrate this. You know, and it was December 2012. It was in Newtown, Connecticut, Sandy Hook Elementary School. Does that ring a bell to you? What happened? A mentally ill 20-year-old young man brought an assault rifle into the elementary school and started spraying bullets into the classroom. There was a teacher there, a woman that was strong and loving. And this woman was Caitlin Roeg. Caitlin Roeg was a teacher. She gathered 15 of her young students, and she hid them in a tiny bathroom. There she barricaded them in. And then the kids were just kind of really animated and talking, and she's trying to quiet the kids down so that the shooter doesn't find them. And so she's trying to get them to be quiet. And she's like, children, we must be quiet. That there's bad guys out there, and we need to wait until the good guys come. And then, right after that moment, a young boy stepped forward, and he says this. He says, "It's okay, Mrs. Roeg. I know karate. Follow me. I'll lead the way." I mean, like how adorable is that, you know? Amidst all the chaos, there was something in this little boy's soul that knew, as a boy, someone that was male, I need to step up and step into the danger. And in our heart of hearts, you know, we know this true, that men, you're called to be strong and step into difficult places. Like the war in Ukraine, we saw it. What was the job as the war began? It's get the women and children out so the men can go back in and fight. And we all thought that was good, and that's the way it should be. That do you know, in my home, my wife Susan and I, if we hear something go bump in the middle of the night, I'm not like waking her up, baby, go check it out and see what that is, right? And if I did, would you even listen to me as a pastor, right? Because in our heart of hearts, we know it's true. That men, you've been designed by God to be strong, right? And to step in to difficult situations, to be strong and play the man. And so, listen, I know some of you men out there, I know personally some of your stories, some of my friends and some men in our church, life has just kicked the trash out of you the last year or so. I know some of your health, some of your relationships, some of your finances and your career has just taken a beating this past year. But I want to encourage you, man, you're strong. You're stronger than you think you are. And I want to tell you this, boys quit. But men get up and they can go one more round. Boys quit, but men, they get up and they can go one more round. Have you heard the story of Jim Corbett? Jim Corbett was the second heavyweight of all time. The second one that was ever noticed. The first one was a guy by the name of John Sullivan. Corbett defeated John Sullivan, and everyone thought it was impossible that Sullivan was, you could not beat him. And surprisingly, after 21 rounds of boxing, did you hear that? Like, sanctioned fights today are only 12 rounds. He fought 21 rounds to eventually defeat the champion, John Sullivan. And so I just want to share with you, Corbett, he has this this little poem he wrote, and I want to read it for you this morning. Corbett says this: "Don't give yourself an out. Fight one more round. When your arms are so tired that you can hardly lift your hands to come in on guard, you fight one more round. When your nose is bleeding and your eyes are black and you're so tired that you wish your opponent would crack you one on the jaw and just put you to sleep, fight one more round, remembering that the man who fights one more round is never whipped." Men, play strong. Be the man. Men, you can go one more round. Let's look at point number two. Is this Paul says, "Let all you be done, all that you do be done in love." All right, and so we're strong, but we're loving. And so if you've spent any time at Every Nation New Jersey, you know what the Trinity of Guy movies are. It's Braveheart, Gladiator, and 300. And so our youth pastor had submitted that perhaps that we would allow John Wick or the Fast and the Furious into the Trinity of Guy movies. And so it's being taken under consideration by the committee. But if you've seen the movie 300, you know it's loosely an interpretation of the Battle of Thermopylae. In the Battle of Thermopylae, it was King Leonidas and 7,000 Spartan warriors up against King Xerxes and the Persian army, some 300,000, 7,000 against 300,000. And yet these 7,000 Spartans, they boldly and courageously marched into battle. And people were so taken back by that they seemed to lack fear. And when they were they inquired as to how the Spartans could be so fearless, they had a very surprising response. They said this: "Because we love. We love our nation. We love our families. We love our people, right? And therefore they fight." And so in the same way, Paul says this: "Let everything you do be done in love, motivated by love. Act like men." And I want to tell you this, that men, they give, but boys, they take. Men are sacrificial, but boys, they're selfish. Right, because love gives. So I was reading a book. It's called The Roar Within, and it's actually written by a big game hunter. And he let me know this: that, do you know that Disney was wrong? Like Scar in The Lion King was appeared to be weak. Do you know in the wild, a lion with visible scars, he is avoided at all costs. All the other apex predators will avoid that lion because the scars are a display that this lion, he's not afraid to engage an enemy. He's not afraid to bleed, and he will fight to the death. And so that's why I love when I think of Jesus. He is the lion of the tribe of Judah. And as he rose from the dead in victory, he had what? Nail-pierced hands, wounded side, that you could visibly see the scars on the lion of the tribe of Judah. And it was this reminder that he, our God, is Jesus is loving, but it was also a reminder to all Jesus' enemies that he is unrivaled, undefeated. In fact, death died in his presence, right? He is strong. Jesus is loving and strong, and men, we've been called to be strong and loving. Number three is this, says, be watchful. Be watchful. That just simply means to be alert or be awake. In fact, this is Eden language. If you remember the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God commissioned man. He says, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to keep it. To work it and to keep it. And so here we see like men's original design. God made you and I to be workers. Men are workers. And here's what I found out, that men are workers and boys are whiners. You might not like to hear this, but men, you've been designed by God to work. It's good for your soul. Like, do you know that God is a worker? And I love, we get this picture of in creation, God is working as he's creating everything that is. And in day one, he would create and he would step back and he would say it's good. And then he would create and he would step back and say it's good. Why? Because to work and to create, it's good for our soul. And I promise you this, that lazy men, they dishonor God. Man, they cheat the world and they harm their very own soul. And so some of you might not be lazy, but some of you take it the other way. Man, well, work becomes an idol to you. And listen, we are not to worship our work, but we are to make work the way we worship, right? Do you know in the scriptures, in the Hebrew, the word for work and worship, it's the same word, avodah. And so when you work and do work well, you're actually loving God and loving people. If you remember the movie Saving Private Ryan, some of you may need to Google it. It's getting to be a bit of an old illustration, but bear with me, all right? And so the story goes like this, is that all these soldiers, they were tasked to bring back Private Ryan, played by Matt Damon. And so as these soldiers are trying to get Matt Damon, Private Ryan, back to the United States, they're dying one after the other, until finally Tom Hanks' character, in Saving Private Ryan, he takes a bullet, and as he breathes his last breath, he whispers these words to Private Ryan. He says, "Earn this. Earn this." And then the movie, it fast forwards decades afterwards, and they age Matt Damon. And Matt Damon, as now he's old in life, as he's standing before the graves of these fallen soldiers, he has this crisis where he's like, how did I do? All that shed blood for me, did I earn the shed blood of my fellow countrymen? And in a panic, he grabs his wife and he says, "Tell me I'm a good husband. Tell me I was a good father," right? There's this panic at the end of his life, and really in a very same way, like, we don't earn our salvation. However, man, Jesus shed his blood for you and I, and now we're to work and to pour out our life, to work and cultivate our families. We cultivate the world. We cultivate relationships, right? Because men are workers, and our work becomes worship. How about this? We read as well that to work it and to keep it. So men are keepers. That word literally means to protect. We protect. And so I'll tell you this, that boys are passive, but men are protectors. Boys are passive, but men are protectors. And so I wrote this quote down, and so I want to make sure I get it right. So I wrote this, that the permanent pain of passivity is far worse than the temporary pain of sacrifice. Did you catch that? Like the permanent pain of passivity. This idea like I should have, I wish I would have. Like it's a permanent pain because we don't get to have a do-over. Like life isn't a video game where we just hit do-over again. And so I want to encourage you, man. Let's not be passive, but let's be protectors. Sorry, I'm going on so many movie rants, but the movie Braveheart, in the trinity of guy movies, like, Susan hates when I watch that movie because I get all William Wallace up on her, right? I'm like, I love ya. I've always loved ya, right? She hates it. But if you remember this epic scene where William Wallace, he addresses the sons of Scotland. And as the sons of Scotland have a choice, they can engage the enemies for freedom, or they can be passive and run away. And he addresses them in this epic speech. He says this, he says, "I fight and you may die, run and you'll live at least a while, and dying in your beds many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they will never take our freedom," right? And William Wallace, I mean, and all his men, they lose their mind and they go, what? And they wind up living, winning the battle, right? It's this call out of passivity. And man, I want to tell you this, that man, the call to just to be passive, to sit on the couch, to not engage, is going to be there. And you know what? It's the very first sin of Adam. If you remember, Adam was placed in the garden and God told him to protect it and to keep it. And what happens? He's passive. He sits by and allows his wife to be deceived by the serpent. And so here's what Adam should have done as the serpent was lying to Eve, that Adam should have come between his wife and the tree. And then he should have looked that serpent in his face, and he should have said this, "Over my dead body." And you know what happened? That Jesus, he's called the last Adam. That Jesus became a man, and he stood between his bride, the church, and the tree, the cross. And he looked his enemy in the face, and he told the devil and death itself, he says, "Over my dead body," right? And Jesus conquered death. See, Jesus wasn't passive, but he engaged on our behalf because Jesus was the prototypical man. Number four is this, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. So I need to ask you, men, are you standing firm in the faith, or are you just kind of a Christian, right? You just kind of go to church here or there, right? Listen to a worship song. And by the way, I don't even know if kind of Christian is an actual thing, but I promise you this, if you're kind of the halfway guy, you're halfway a Christian and half in the world, can I tell you that's the worst possible place, because you're a lousy Christian and a lousy sinner. Man, if you're going to live for Jesus, bro, you got to go all in and live for Jesus. And if you're going to live in the world, man, just bag all this Christianity stuff and go live in the world. But don't be the halfway guy. So, fathers, I'm going to speak directly to you. You can't afford to be half-hearted and halfway in your walk with Jesus. You have to be all in. There's too much at stake. Do you know that research has shown this, that when mothers in a household are devout but the fathers are indifferent, 18% of the time the children will follow the mother. But when the dad, the father, is devout and the mother is indifferent, 94% of the time the children will follow the faith of their father. That's incredibly powerful. And men, you got to go all in. It's why Joshua says in Joshua 24:15, he says, "As for me, in my house, we're going to serve the Lord." See, Joshua was playing the man. And so, fellas, I want to challenge you this morning. Hey, men, are you reading your Bible consistently? Because here's what I know. I've never seen a strong Christian who didn't read it, and I've never seen a weak one who did. It's a non-negotiable. Men, fathers in particular, do your family and your kids, do they see you praying? Do you pray on a daily basis? And I know I can hear all the excuses out there. You know, I'm too busy. I don't read very well. I don't know how to pray, right? And here's what I would tell you this morning, that boys make excuses and men make a way. You are a man. Figure it out. There's way too much at stake. And so I want to call you up higher to stand firm in the faith. And men, I promise you, I don't want to sugarcoat this. Do you know, to stand firm in the faith, it's not easy. And I promise you that you're going to stumble and fall at times. But don't quit. Man, you stumble and fall, you get up and get back into the game. Boys give up and men get up. All right? And so I remember when I was learning how to skate for the first time. And when I was learning to skate, it was funny. My first hockey team, the only reason I made the team was because my dad was the coach. And you can't cut your kid, I guess, right? And so my dad told me, he goes, "You are the worst player. You couldn't skate at all." And I'm like, "Oh, thanks, Dad." He said this. He goes, "But you know what? You fell all the time, but you always got back up." And so I can recall those days. Man, just learning to skate. And I remember each practice, this one, "I only fell 6 times this time, Dad." And then the other, "I only fell 3 times this time, Dad." Until I got so into the game, I didn't even realize I never fell. I didn't fall, right? And it's the same way with Jesus. Man, we're gonna try and step out and be strong and loving and live for Jesus. And we're going to stumble and fall. And when you do, you repent, you get back up, and you get back into the game, right? And I want to share with you Teddy Roosevelt. Teddy Roosevelt, when he was running for the presidency, was giving a stump speech, and as he did, an assassin came, took a .32 caliber gun, and put a bullet right in Roosevelt's chest. It lodged 2 inches deep in his chest, but catch this, Roosevelt stood there and delivered the 52-minute speech standing in a pool of his own blood. Is that insane? And so I think he was kind of playing the man in that moment. And so, but Roosevelt, he gives this infamous speech, and I think it's appropriate for us to read this morning. It's called The Arena. And he says this. He says, "It's not the critic who counts. Not the man who points out how the strong man stumbles or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs, who comes short again and again because there is no effort without error and shortcoming, but who does actually strive to do the deeds, who knows great enthusiasms and great devotions, who spends himself in a worthy cause, who at the best knows in the end the triumph of a high achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who neither know victory nor defeat." I think that's appropriate for us today. Men, as we step out, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong, let all you do be done in love. Let's pray. Father, I just want to pray for men this morning. God, I thank you for the tremendous women. Where would the body of Christ be without these godly women? But Lord, I pray for men. Lord, that you're calling men from glory to glory and strength to strength. And let it start today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, listen, if you're paying attention to the sermon, we call this M&M, remember, it was men and money. And so while we're gonna close out here, I do need to reference, you know, that Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, he actually takes up an offering in the Corinthians church. And so I don't like to talk about money often because I get it with pastors and blah, blah, blah. But do you know what? Surprisingly, the Bible talks about money a lot. In fact, do you know there's 2,350 verses in your Bible on money? Get this, 11 of Jesus's 39 parables were on money. And in fact, that Jesus spoke about money more than both heaven and hell combined. And so Jesus talked about it a lot. And so just briefly here this morning, I just want to share with you like everything that's taking place when you take a moment to give to God. Let me tell you, like this is what's taking place. When you give to God, you're actually worshiping God. Like the word worship, it means worth-ship. You're showing His worth and value to Him. And let me read it to you. Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10 says this, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with new wine." Here's the second thing. So it's worshiping God. When you give, you're guarding your heart. You know, the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And when we give, we're guarding our heart. Matthew 6, verse 21 says this, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." This is what else, when you give to God, you're actually training your heart to fear the Lord. Catch this, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 23, it says this, "Bring this tithe to the designated place of worship, the place the Lord your God chooses for His name to be honored, and eat it there in His presence. This applies to your tithes of grain, new wine, olive oil, and the firstborn males of your flocks and herds. Doing this will teach you always to fear the Lord your God." And so a tithe simply means a tenth. And so he wanted the God's people to be occupied, whether it's food or wine or livestock. The tenth, it goes to God, that you're always reminding yourself that it's God first. God first. Notice this as well, that when you give to God, you're actually opening up your life for the blessing of God. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10 says this, "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Right? That God promises as we give to Him that He's going to open up the windows of heaven and bless His people. And then lastly, do you know, as you give to God, you're actually protecting yourself from the devourer. Let me read to you Malachi 3 and verse 11. says this. God says, I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruits of your soil, and your vine in the field shall not fail to bear, says the Lord of hosts. And so as we give to God, God actually promises he's going to protect the 90% that we do get to keep. And so I want to encourage you, those of you that are faithful and you're tithing and you're giving, all that's taking place in this moment. And now I'll remind you that there's three ways that you can give here to Every Nation New Jersey, and that's this. One, you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text if you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977. It's a very convenient way to give. My family and I give this way. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Hey, and may God richly bless you as you're faithful in tithing. Listen, we're all done here today, but listen, I want to tell you this. Jesus loves you and has a great plan for your life, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.